Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of the podcast Cults and Kaiju, entitled Into the Mouth of Manga. I'm your host, Trenton Payne. So the last episode was an interview from a spokesperson from the new Heavenly Path Church, complete with their odd website, and yes, it's suddenly been scraped from the internet. Can't find anything about it anywhere. Well, in this episode, we want to jump back into Rin's story as it left off from episode 7. He mentioned that 6 months before his 18th birthday, he started seeing a new stranger following him. Now, you mentioned to me before that you were fairly paranoid at the time, and I was just wondering if you thought it was part of that paranoia, you know, thinking someone new was following you.
It's true, I didn't trust anyone except my psychiatrist, and I wasn't sure at any time whether I was seeing real things or hallucinations. There is a theory that Jimmy Mizaki, the person that was supposedly my father, that he had delusions because he was schizophrenic. Since that sort of thing can potentially be genetic, I was starting to think in my teens that I was suffering from the same thing. That was scarier than actually seeing weird things, knowing that my condition would probably only worsen.
And who made that assumption about Jimmy that he was ill?
My psychiatrist brought it up. We, of course, didn't have Jimmy's health records, although my psychiatrist may have reached out to hospitals in Japan for that information. Not sure.
So you had someone new following you?
Yes, besides the X creatures, the people with masks that had X's on them, and the angel sentinels. On top of all that, I had this strange man in a black hat following me. He was Asian, had a mustache, and always seemed to be milling about on city steps or watching me behind corners when I would go out at night. One time it looked like he was going to walk up to me, but he kept walking. It was bad enough that I ran from shadow to shadow in the day, trying to stay inside buildings, away from windows, because I thought God was going to look at me and I'd die of a heart attack. Then I had this real person following me during a time of night I thought was safe. Imagine a skittish Asian teen with an umbrella over his head on a sunny day running at sharp angles trying to get to dark places.
And you didn't have anyone else you could turn to?
My foster parents were distant. My psychiatrist was the only person that considered believing me. He certainly had to believe my school janitor.
What happened with your school janitor?
Well, there was this girl that I had a crush on, and I got the courage up to make her a mixtape. I was going to give it to her friend and asked that I would remain anonymous. But of course, she told her friend who I was. The girl I had a crush on pretty much ignored me, and I thought that was that. Then one day, I got picked up and interviewed for hours by policemen. Apparently, a large Asian man snuck into the girl's house and held her out of her second-story bedroom window by her neck and told her that she was the chosen wife of the portal child and she had to engage in coitus with me or die.
Wow.
I had no idea who the guy was, and then one day after leaving my psychiatrist, a giant tree trunk of a man kneeled in front of me and told me he was doing what Jimmy had asked of him, and so he would always be there to protect me. He wandered off, and I suddenly remembered him from school. He had been a new janitor. The police never found him, and he never came back to work.
That must have made you popular at school.
At least people were afraid of me. I didn't get picked on anymore, but I was even more of a pariah now. Good luck getting a girl to come near me after that.
But this huge janitor fellow wasn't the same guy with the mustache?
Correct. They were two different people. The whole thing bothered my psychiatrist. And that just scared me more, because he seemed very concerned about both of these men. Then it got even weirder. I started finding drawings done in sidewalk chalk in front of my foster home all over the ground in all colors. They were clearly cartoon drawings from a professional, or at least someone who really knew how to draw. I went through a box of my mother's old things and there was a few sketches in there that resembled the sketches on the sidewalk. They were cutesy anime cartoon sketches of the Rogue Fighter X. Kind of like Astro Boy, if you know that comic.
Oh yeah, very familiar. So was the man in the black hat drawing them?
No, because one night I saw the guy drawing them. He was very old with a thin gray beard wearing a baseball hat with a W on it. He would hop around on the sidewalk and draw, mumble to himself, giggle, then stand up and stretch his back and look at the stars, then get back to work. I guess the streetlights were bright enough for him to see to draw. I was afraid to come out and talk to him. For some reason, this felt like a real connection to my mother, and I guess I was afraid that if I confronted the guy, he would stop and that connection would be gone. It rained a lot back then and the drawings were delicate and could melt away at any time, or people would step on them and they'd get smeared.
So you never talked to him?
I finally just decided to follow him. I like staying up and walking around the city on my own at night, and since God couldn't see me through the tear in the sky and the ex-monsters and angel sentinels derive their power from the sun, I felt fairly safe.
It's usually the opposite for most people, right? In the day they're fine, but at night?
At night, yeah. I was wired differently because of my trauma. Anyway, I followed the guy for half an hour. He ran across a highway and under a bridge and I almost lost him when he disappeared behind a metal door built into the side of a highway pillar. I sat for a really long time afraid to do anything. Finally, I just walked up and knocked on the door.
What happened?
The old man opened up the door and danced up and down when he saw me. Then he gave me a hug and tried to swing me around, but I was too heavy. I remember him smelling awful, like he'd not had a bath in years. He introduced himself as Shingo.
Shingo. That name sounds familiar.
He told me he was commissioned by my father Jimmy to work on an anime version of the story Rogue Fighter X. Shingo lived in this tiny storage utility unit forgotten by the city. He had a working generator in there and candles, a sleeping bag, and a drafting table. All over the walls were images of his drawings. He said he'd been perfecting the style and story of Rogue Fighter X for years, and was just about done with it, and thought to give me all the drawings, purposefully living in the same city as me, so he could be near.
And did he give you the drawings?
He told me he wanted to compile them all into one big story, and that I should give him a few days and asked if I liked pizza. I said yes, and he said he'd be around soon. He seemed nice enough and agreed with me that it was best to stay hidden during the day, but that he had no solution for when I turned 18. He knew that a portal would come out of the X scar on my chest and build a stairway down from God. But he was very certain it wasn't God, but an evil Oni spirit from another dimension. He said Jimmy, just before he died, believed the same thing, but my mother wouldn't listen. He started crying then and there, worried for the whole of humanity and what would happen to me.
That must have just played into your fears even more.
Absolutely. I told my psychiatrist about it, and he made me tell him where old Shingo was hiding out. He said the authorities should be alerted, so I told him. The next day I had to go back under the highway to see what happened, even though I hated being out in the day. There were men there. Shingo was hanging upside down, wrapped up to his eyes with slimy angel sentinels, and men in white suits with masks that looked like the letter X were trashing the place and pouring gasoline over everything. I didn't know what to do. I was just a kid and just sat there frozen with my umbrella over my head. One of them saw me and bowed quickly and turned around and set the wall on fire. Everything started to burn. The men in suits seemed to melt away and their entire bodies started to morph into slimy giant X-shaped creatures. Half human, half X creature. It got dimmer in the doorway of the room and I turned to see the janitor had suddenly showed up. He proceeded to murder both men in front of me. It was fairly gruesome and I'd rather not go into details.
Totally understandable. Was Shingo okay?
Yes, he was actually hung upside down with a rope, but suddenly on the ground in front of me. The janitor picked us both up like we were sacks of flour and got us out of the fire.
And everything burned up.
Everything burned up. The janitor bowed to me and ran off into the bushes. I felt the ground even rumble as he jogged off. Shingo stood up, ran back into the room, trying desperately to put out the fire on his drawings. I tried to help, but eventually it got too hot inside and we had to get out. Shingo started coughing and fell to the ground. He was suffering from intense smoke inhalation and couldn't stop coughing. I found a wobbly shopping cart with no backside. I got him into the cart from the back and with my umbrella over both of us, I headed off for the hospital.
The name Shingo sounded familiar because Ryogi actually mentioned him hanging around the cult back in the day. Perhaps Shingo can shed some more light on what really happened to Jimmy Misaki. We're going to finish up that story, but before we do, the director that worked on the trailer for Rogue Fighter X says he's found a piece of it, and even digitized it, at least what he could. We'll post and discuss its origins next time on Cults and Kaiju.